CeeLo Productions presents Backstage Access. I'm your co-host, Scott Lowe.
And I'm your co-host, Tony Gonzalez.
And in this podcast, we discuss all things in the world of Christian music and entertainment. All right. Thank you for joining us for another episode of Backstage Access. This week, we have Indianapolis native Indigo Sky with us. Indigo, how you doing, man?
I'm good. I'm good, man. How are you?
I am great.
Fantastic.
So awesome to have you here, bro. Thank you for coming.
Like I told you guys before, I'm going to say at least five more times how appreciative I am to just be here.
Yeah.
No. And for the pizza. For everybody listening, they offered me pizza, and that's how you get me to do anything. So
no. Yeah. Thank you so much for spending the evening with us and hanging out and doing this podcast. Really, really excited to do it.
Absolutely.
So, you know, I came across your music probably about a year or so ago. But for those who aren't familiar with who you are, you know, what's your story and how you got into music?
Yeah, absolutely. so first off, I guess I'll start all the way at the beginning. So I knew from, I'd say six years old, I knew I wanted to be a musician. I talked offline a little bit about how, you know, just, I remember being in, the church that, well, I guess my grandmother's church, and sitting in that second row in the pew and just watching, my cousin Rodney on bass and just ripping it and singing at the same time and doing it like it's nothing, just effortless.
Natural.
Absolutely. Oh man. And this is how you know it's a moment that really resonates with you, because I still remember the song, and I've not heard it since I was six.
Wow.
Like, I could recite the song, the melody, not the full thing, but I could recite the melody right now, just bass line and vocally, because I remember that moment so vividly.
Awesome.
And I attribute just that wanting to be a guitarist, you know, initially to him, and then the people that I started really seeing, you know, the Jimi Hendrixes and Prince and you know, later the James Hetfield and, you know, the whole right. Rock and metal community. but yeah, just from, like I said, 6 years old, I knew I wanted to be a guitar player, a musician. I also learned at 8 years old that I didn't like to practice because my mom got me an acoustic guitar, and she was one of those, you know, she was like, all right, you're going to sit here from 6 to 6:30. And you're going to practice. And I was like, cool, Mom, I'm going to go watch Power Rangers.
Right. Practice can wait. Yeah, right?
Oh, man. I was not about that practice life. But I ended up picking it up seriously. I think I was 11 when my mom got me a little Squire, you know, the first guitar. Oh, nice. Squire kit.
Yeah.
That everybody gets.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, I was ripping that bad boy. All terrible right. Tones and all. It was great. It was great, you know. Yep. And I don't know what it is, but, like, when you are the least experienced is when you have the audacity to turn it the loudest.
Right.
Right. That was me all day just, like, cranking up. Ding, ding, ding. My mom's like, oh, my gosh, stop. I was like, no, Mom. Sorry, that got off a little bit.
That's okay. That's awesome. I love these stories.
But, yeah, just, you know, from that age, I knew I wanted to be a musician. And I think really from six on is when I really kind of expanded my mind, my viewpoint to just the different musicians that were around at the time, you know. yeah, like I said, just different guitarists, Jimi Hendrix, Prince. I found people who, and I know we talked a little bit offline afterwards about, like, the rock music and the perception of that. I grew up in a pretty religious household, religious background, religious family. So rock music was kind of seen as, I'm just going to say, not favorable. We'll say that.
Right.
So, I mean, in and through that, I just kind of, I don't know, just kind of stumbled on it. I don't know what it was. I don't know when it happened, but I just knew that I liked rock music. I liked my guitar with a little bit of grit to it. You know, I liked, you know, punchy riffs and things like that. And from the moment I got that Squire, that's just what I did. That's what I wanted to do. That's what I wanted to be, just be a musician. And just kind of been trying to follow that since
that's
then.
Awesome.
Awesome. So, you know, I know you said you started playing guitar. What was it? Was there an event or something that happened in your life where you wanted to incorporate singing as well that made you want to be a singer?
That's a funny question. So I always sing without thinking of myself as a singer. So I, you know, like most people that grew up 90s era, like I was all about them Disney movies, right? And the Disney soundtracks of the 90s
right?
slapped hard. You
know? Right.
you were singing whether you realized it or not.
Right.
So there were several instances in my life where I didn't consider myself a singer, but I liked to sing. Like I was a very animated kid. I just, my mom tells me stories all the time, and it turns out my son is the exact same way. And oh my God, like I have to call my mom periodically and say, hey, you know that time you said I would just run around singing and I wouldn't stop and I wouldn't lay down? I'm so sorry for that. I got a little 3-year-old now he's going to be an amazing musician. And
nice.
I'm getting the forefront of all of that.
Right on.
So to answer your question, stop going off all these tangents.
No.
No, that's great.
So I always sang and I did it. I liked to do it. But I never really, again, considered myself a singer. Specifically, every time I did sing or every time I, you know, kind of let loose a little bit, it was always like, okay, well, you're going to use that voice here. And again, one thing to know about me is I'm very stubborn and rebellious, or at least I used to be. Mm-hmm. So I was just like, well, fine, I won't sing. But then there'll be, you know, instances where I joined the school choir because it was something to do after school in elementary school. Ended up getting a solo because I was looking out the window singing, and then the teacher stopped everybody, pointed to me. I had no idea. I'm just looking outside, and I'm singing the song, and she's like, you're a singer! And I was like, I don't know. But I ended up doing, like, a solo in that. And, you know, it was something I liked to do, but I never said, like, yes, I'm going to be a singer because I was all about that guitar. Mm-hmm. And I was just, hey, this is what I'm going to do. This is just a thing I've done, you know. And it wasn't until, I guess even after high school, I stayed in choirs all through high school. I did a vocal jazz ensemble, you know, in college. But even still, it was just like a thing to do. I liked being a part of a choir. I liked kind of the choir sound, classic music, like stuff like that. But again, I never said like, I want to do this thing. my first band, I did sing and play guitar just because, at that point, that's what I was trying out. But even still, like, I want to be a singer. It was always just, hey, I'm a guitar player first, and this thing just does what it does. You know, I'll just try to sing whenever I can. It wasn't until, really, maybe a little bit after high school is when I really started to try to be a singer or a better singer. Mm-hmm. And really what helped cultivate that a little bit more was my time in the worship group that I was in at a Vineyard Community Church out here in Greenwood. Shout out VCC.
There you go.
So I actually stopped music for years before I joined that worship team. For no reason other than I'd kind of felt like I was chasing my tail with the music thing, trying to join bands and try to do things. And, you know, it was a lot of lack of confidence in myself. You know, I didn't really see what I did as anything of value if I wasn't a part of someone else's thing. So I kept trying to look for bands and, you know, things like that, other musicians to work with. And when I didn't find it, I said, well, I guess I'm just not supposed to. So mm-hmm. I've just focused my efforts on, you know, my now wife, but my girlfriend and I at the time moved out here, just trying to make a life and build a life for ourselves out here. And, that was the priority. So I kind of stopped doing it for a while. And it wasn't until shortly before we started attending the Vineyard Church, and if this is going on too long, tell me to stop.
No, please.
Not at all.
Please keep
like
going.
I said, I love stories.
Yeah, so.
Shortly before we joined the Vineyard Church, I, you know, just kind of, you know, you feel that itch after you don't do it for a while, especially if music was such a huge part of your life. Mm-hmm. And I did. I started feeling that itch pretty strongly. So I ended up buying just kind of a little Takamine. I never know how to pronounce that correctly.
It's Takamine.
Is it Takamine?
Yep, it is. You had it. You got it.
Cool. I was going to run down the list until one of you was like, yeah, that's it.
That's it.
The next one was Takamine. I was just going to keep going.
That's what it looks like, Takamine.
I bought a Takamine. And just, you know, kind of started getting back into it and you know, just playing just to play, just to kind of feel that again. Shortly after I got that, my wife kind of encouraged me to start doing some open mics. So I did that. I did, did a few open mic things at Square Cat Vinyl and, Fountain Square. Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's oh, nice. Yep, okay.
Square Cat and Fountain Square. Which that was actually really cool. They were doing a thing on Monday nights at 5:00. I don't know if they still do it anymore. But yeah, they were doing that for a while. So that was a really cool thing to get into. And that kind of helped reinvigorate that love a little bit.
Okay.
But it was still very hands off. It was, all right, you know, it's just something that I'm doing.
Yeah.
Just as a hobby. So fast forward a little bit afterwards, my wife and I start looking for churches to go to. That's when I really kind of started getting serious about my faith. Was, I think, 24, 25. So we started looking for churches to go to. We go to the Vineyard. Like the environment, we like the people there, and we decided to do their, I forgot what they called it, I think it was a V-track back in the day, where they would take people who wanted to be a part. It's basically a program to, like, sit down with you, whether you're, they call them first chair, second chair, I still don't understand what that means, but either you're new to the church or you've been with the church for a while and you just want to spiritually grow. It's kind of a program that they do outside of the services to help guide you and cultivate that.
Okay.
So that was, you know, really cool community, and we really loved everybody there, and we were there for a while afterwards, and still are, actually. I don't say were. But yeah, so we did that. My wife and I are there, and I forgot who was leading it at the time, but they were just talking about, like, hey, you know, we have several places where you can serve if you want to. You know, we have, if you want to help with just, you know, parking or whatever the case may be. And he eventually got to the worship band. And, of course, my eye was like,
I'm listening.
I side-eyed it, and then I just kind of kept going, like, oh, okay. You know, like,
right.
I saw the band. Like, they're fully stacked. Everybody sounds great. Like, yeah, I'm just
right.
Cool, you know. And I was very much okay with just being like, oh, that's cool. That'd be a cool thought. And my wife immediately was like, he sings and plays guitar. And I was just like, shut up.
Right but, under the bus.
Right. And that's exactly what happened. So the guy said, all right, well, if anyone here, you know, if you have a talent that you want to share, or if you sing or you play guitar, and literally without a beat, he sings and plays guitar. And I was just like, oh, God. And but his eyes like lit up. He's like, really? All right, we'll get you in touch with And they did. Right, it was on. A very fast track. Like, wow. The worship leader at the time came up. He was like, hey, so heard you want to do this thing. Is this something you want to do? I said, yeah, like, I wouldn't mind it. Like, I think it'd be cool.
Right.
So they had me meet up, and we did everything. We talked through some things, and it was really cool. So I think that is when I started to kind of, how do I want to say this, exercise the musicianship muscle, you know, again. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we did that for years. I was kind of a substitute worship leader for a while when they were looking for a main, you know, worship pastor there for a bit. And it was just a really cool opportunity to grow in many ways, you know, musicianship wise, you know, grow in my faith and really kind of figure out who I was and, you know, wrestle with the things that I thought I wanted that I really don't need or really don't want, the things that I didn't want that I, you know, or things that I didn't know that I needed. You know, it was just kind of a cool opportunity to do that. And overall, all of that pretty much led back to, and it, you know, I had many people talk to me about it, because I'm a guy that I will doubt myself a million times before I ever have one positive thing,
right.
One positive thought about myself, you know, right. Or my gifts or what I do.
Right.
And I say gifts loosely. I don't think I'm amazing or anything, but I've had many people speak into my life and tell me that, you know, this is something that I was made to do. You know, being a musician, doing music, it is very possible, and we see it all the time, to get caught up in making that our identity, as opposed to just like, hey, this is just a passion that I have, this is what I do. It's not everything, though, because once it's everything, it stops there.
Right.
You can't get out of your own way, or you can't get out of your own head to you know, lend that gift to something bigger than yourself.
Right.
And again, we're talking the worship, you know, the church role and all that.
Mm-hmm.
But overall, it was, you know, it was just something that I knew I always wanted to do. It's in your heart. It's in your mind. And, you know, no matter how much you want to saying, ah, no, I'm doing this or I'm doing that, or, you know, maybe it's not meant for me. Like, it's there, you know, and that's something that you can't ignore. So I think being able to be in that environment and, you know, be around excellent musicians, excellent singers.
Right.
My gosh.
I know, right?
You know, and just it was everything that I needed to start what I'm doing now, which you can't plan those things.
Right.
You know? But everything from the discipline, you know, I definitely needed to flex that muscle again. Because, again, practice. So, so I definitely needed to flex that muscle again. The importance of not only knowing the music, but feeling the music and making it meaningful. You know, being in the metal background, it's about that feeling, you know, or that hard rock metal background. It's about feeling.
Right.
But that feeling is like, let's push somebody in the face, you know. Like, if it doesn't make me angry, it's not making any sense, you know.
Right.
But you know, just more than that.
I love
on
it.
On the musicianship side of things, you know, the connection of, you know, what you're singing with what you're playing, with, you know, the resonance of the heart, like all of it. That all of those things make a great musician, whether it's, you know, in worship or otherwise, right? Like, if you look at great musicians, all of those boxes are checked, you know, and that's how you evoke that feeling in people, you know, that makes them want to hear more or be around you more or whatever the case may be.
Right.
So yeah, just kind of starting there and doing that, and just kind of led me to have the confidence, and I guess, yeah, that's it. It kind of led me to have the confidence, that and the support, of course, of my family, and the birth of my son, who I talked about earlier, the little Energizer bunny, that kid.
Right.
You know, I started thinking about what kind of father I wanted to be, you know, when the, you know, we broke the news that we were going to be parents. And I'm fortunate enough to have a great dad. Right. So everything I thought about was, okay, cool. Emulate that to a T, because this man is, I hold him in the highest regard. Right. I have great male role models. My dad, grandfathers, all of that. Uncles,
awesome.
Fifth grade teachers that, you know, have kept in touch with me and, you know, my cousin, just to make sure we're doing all right. And just great men in my life that, you know, I've been able to take something from, or I hope that I've taken something and am able to emulate that. So I said, okay, cool. That's what I want. I want to emulate that, be that kind of father. But the other thing too, is I wanted to be able to tell my son when he's old enough to have these conversations, of course, because right now we're just talking about Bluey and stuff.
Right.
But we're old enough to have those conversations, to be able to say, hey, if this is something that you want to do, do it. Like, you have my full support. You know, I don't know. I want to be able to tell, I can't even articulate this. I want to be able to tell my son something without the hypocrisy of not having done it myself, you know?
Yeah.
So if I tell my son, and I've done this myself on several occasions, if I'm in a situation where no one's around and there's an easy way out of a situation that I don't want to deal with, I always say to myself, you know, integrity, it's doing the thing when no one's watching. This is what I'm going to tell Malachi, and I do it. I might roll my eyes, but I'm doing it, right?
Right.
You're right.
Because that's what it's about. Like, and I tried to be a man of integrity, but not for me, for who I want to be able to teach my son to be.
Right.
So when he was born, that's one of the things that I was really thinking about, is I don't want to be in the situation where I'm telling my son to go for his passions and go for what he wants to do.
Mm-hmm.
I don't ever want to give him the ammo to say, well, how come you didn't, Dad? Because I will not have an answer.
Right.
And everything I say after that will be just not credible, right?
Right. Right. Yep.
Because I said so only goes so far. It's not about what you say. It's about what they see, right?
Right.
You guys are, I'm not telling you anything you don't know, right? Yeah, but it's just, you know, I'm seeing all of these things because, of course, it's my first and only child. So I'm seeing all of these things and all of the words that, you know, my dad and men that I've known in my life are really, you know, have told me in the past are really kind of coming up, and I'm wrestling with those things now. You know, it's not about, you know, it's not about what you say, it's about what they see you do, right?
Right.
So I'm just trying to be, I don't know.
No, it goes against that whole, you know, I don't know if you heard it growing up, but I heard it all the time from adults. Do as I say, not as I do.
Right.
And that is 100% false. I don't care how many times you try to drill that into a child. That child is watching what you do.
Absolutely.
And so what you do matters. You can say whatever you want, but like you said, if you're not doing it, if you're not following through, that's what they're watching.
Absolutely.
They're going to reenact, emulate everything that you do, not just what you tell them to do or what you tell them to say. They're watching. And so I have two children as well, and I can tell you, they, like you said, they don't care what you say. They're going to watch what you do.
And you can tell them a million things. The thing that they will pick up immediately is that one little detail that you're like, don't pay attention to that. Why'd you repeat that? Right. Why that? You know?
Yep. Yeah, exactly.
But getting back to the music and bringing it back a little bit. So with that, again, I want it to be an example for my kid. So that way when we have that conversation of, hey, you know, if you want to be a musician, great. I'm pushing for that, by the way. Right. If you want to be a musician, great.
Yeah.
If you want to do sports, if you want to be a doctor, if you want to, whatever you want to do, you have the full support of your family.
Right.
And there's nothing stopping you from doing it but you. And if he tries to say, well, Dad, I say, nope, I did my thing, right? You know, like I had a passion, I had a dream, and this is what that's about, just following that and trying to be an example to, you know, my kid and trying to just connect with people through music, that if this is something that you want to do or whatever you want to do,
right,
you have it within you to do it. You're stronger than you think you are. Just get out there and do your thing, you know?
Yeah.
Really long answer.
Man, I love bro. I mean, you're really, really positive, man. You know, I mean, I struggle with that confidence thing with music too, you know, but that's really cool, man. It seems like you're really pushing on to get your confidence up there, and you're doing it, man. You know,
I mean,
following your dream in music is, it's a scary thing because, as you know, life gets in the way.
Yes.
You know? I mean, but you are totally right. Your kids watch you, you know. The one thing I could say, I have four sons, and I was always playing music around them when they were growing up.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you're singing along with your favorite bands and stuff like that. And the one it really influenced the most was my oldest son. And he actually plays guitar now.
Nice.
And he's a phenomenal guitar player.
Nice.
I mean, he's better than I ever was. He's really, really good. And it was, you know, we've had a couple conversations about, you know, he said, when I was littler, I just would watch you, you know, how you were about music, listening to it. And I don't know. I mean, it sparked this thing inside of him. I guess he, you know, him watching me, how passionate I was about it, influenced him. And then, you know, he was really influenced with the bands I was listening to, but he's taken it way above and beyond where I was there. And you're right, you know, your kids watch you. And if we can show them something positive, you know, I mean, especially about the music you're doing, you know, I mean, you're playing music for God, bro. That's right there is pretty awesome, you know.
Yeah.
And your son's going to see that, man, and, you know, be proud of it. Very, very proud of it. I know he will be, you know. And keep pushing towards the music thing, though, bro, because it's really cool.
I'm definitely trying, for sure.
Right, right.
You know, that's right. That's all I got on that. It is really cool to see just he's very much about music and, you know, just musicianship. Like, we were actually in Guitar Center earlier today. We went to Center in Sam Ash, because that's kind of our go-to thing if we don't have much to do. Like, we'll just,
it's a musician's toy store, man.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
So you spend hours in there.
It's kind of like, it's cool, but it's not. So I'm a lefty. I'm a left-handed player.
Yeah, I was gonna say something about that later.
So
that's
going
awesome.
To Guitar or anywhere really,
yeah,
except for Guitar Works here in Greenwood, is like, I'm just doing laps, you know, like I'm following him. That's exactly why we're going, is I'm just going to He's like, hey, let's go over here, Dad. All right, cool. Let's go play drums. Can I play drums? Okay. Sure. It's got to be the electronic drums so we don't, like, make everyone mad. But but he loves it. Like, I've got a little, I guess, home studio where I, you know, track demos and things like that. And that's his favorite thing to do at home. You know, can we go in your office? Can we go in your office? All right, man. Fine.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's it is. It's really cool. I could talk about that kid all day.
That's awesome, bro.
So was it the birth of your son? You said that when you were about 24, 25, that's when you really kind of started to take your faith seriously. Was that your son? Was that the reason behind that, or what was the motivation behind that?
I really can't tell you. Not that I don't want to tell you, but, you know, it's just kind of one of those things where.
Just the Spirit spoke to you and put you on that journey.
Yeah, you know, that's really the most succinct way that you could put it. Because at the time I wasn't associated with any church. I wasn't looking to be. I was, being that I had the background that I had, I never took it too far because I held it in me. I just didn't emulate it. I didn't, you know, I wasn't practicing, as they say. I wasn't a practicing Christian, right? But, you know, there are definitely certain lines that I wouldn't cross, you know, certain things that, you know, I just stay away from. I was like, I don't know, that doesn't sit right. That doesn't sit right in here. I'm going to just stay over here.
Yeah.
But yeah, at the time where I started taking my faith seriously, I can't explain it any better than that. It was just something that was kind of put on my heart and mind to do. And it came with, it came with an instance of forgiveness for a family member whom I held some resentment for a very long time.
Gotcha.
Long story short, there was a situation that happened, multiple situations that happened when I was a kid. And, you know, like I said, just I distanced myself from some people because of that. And I was, what, maybe 24, 25. My grandmother called me and said, hey, you know, this person wants to talk to you and, you know, they want to ask you if you'd forgive them. And, of course, my first answer at 24-year-old Loretta is like, nah, I'm good. Like,
right. Yeah.
No, we're good. It's fine. Hey, just don't worry about it. Just have her not talk to me. It'll be fine. You know, it'll be okay.
Right.
But I don't know, something. I took the call because I said, in my mind, I said, it's not going to affect me, whatever you say now, because that was, what, 20, no, not 20-something years ago. Now it's 20-something years ago. But that was so long ago that, you know, if you need to say this for you, cool, do that, you know. Mm-hmm. But there was that, you know, there was that duality in it where I was like, nah, I don't owe her anything, you know, or the person, whatever. I don't owe this person anything, you know, whatever. But I ended up taking the call. And, you know, that it was, I don't know, it was just a moment where everything in my head said, okay, you know, once she says whatever she has to say, just say, all right, cool, you know, have a good one, and then hang up. But I don't know, everything in my heart stopped all this happening up here once we got on the phone and once we actually spoke. And, you know, I was able to say, like, I forgive you for that. And surprisingly to me, it was sincere. You know, I didn't realize that I was willing to let it go in that moment until I was in that moment. And I think that started something. And I know that seems like such a minuscule event, but
no, not at all.
I think that started something in me that I'm sure has always been there, but it was just I don't know, it just kind of blossomed, to be honest with you, because, again, I wasn't associated with any churches. I wasn't associated with any people in a church. It's just, I was in my own little area, and they just came to hang out with me for a minute and change this little thing. So
yeah, yeah. I mean, people don't understand how impactful, I mean, forgiveness can be. I know, you know, you said that it was, you know, you felt it was a small, you know, event. But man, anybody that has ever been in a situation where they had to offer true forgiveness for pain that they were caused or something that happened to them, something that was said to them, man, that's a big deal. And until somebody experiences that on both sides, where they extend forgiveness and it's received, mm-hmm. and then on the other side of when someone extends forgiveness to you and you extend forgiveness, that's a very powerful thing. And there's a lot of people who they struggle with that. Ironically, we just did at church a series on forgiveness a few weeks ago. Wow. And so, but yeah, I mean, there's so many people who struggle with that, and, you know, and God gave you an opportunity to have that, because there's unfortunately some people who wait so long to experience forgiveness or to ask for forgiveness, and it's too late. You know, that person's gone, or they lose, you know, they lose contact with them somehow, and you can't get it back.
Right.
So she actually passed shortly after that conversation.
Oh. Wow.
So that's, I stopped even before I really got serious about my faith. I stopped believing in coincidences a long time ago. Life mm-hmm. events just kind of made me that way. Right. And that was one of those things where, you know, I don't know. It was a lot of things lined up for me in that time.
Yeah.
And it lined up in a way that had nothing to do with each other, but perfectly aligned with one another, that I couldn't really look away from. So yeah. It was a matter of, at that time, you know, stop all the hustle and bustle and, you know, being willingly distracted and just stopping for a moment. And that's when you really hear that, you know, that direction or whatever you're being pulled into, or that's when you feel that conviction of the heart, is when you immerse yourself in silence and allow something else to speak in you, as opposed to you being spoken to from outside distractions, whether it be social media, phones, TVs, radios, shiny airplanes, whatever it is. Yeah. You know, like, you name it. There's a ton of distraction out here, right?
Right, right.
But it was that, and I'm fortunate enough to where I, at the time, and actually now, I was a over-the-road truck driver. So that's a lot of time
right.
for myself
oh, yeah.
to
yeah,
just
absolutely.
Be with myself.
Yeah.
And that really helped kind of mold what would become my journey of faith. Yeah.
That's awesome.
You know, the one thing that we say at Celebrate Recovery is that forgiveness isn't for them, it's for you. Mm. And freedom is, as you forgive deep in your heart and really, really mean it, it does give you freedom, you know, getting rid of that animosity, getting rid of that anger. And I mean, I had a lot to do, you know, I had a lot of anger built up in me before I started going to Celebrate Recovery. And that was one thing I learned. It was like, hey, you know, you're not forgiving that person. You know, you're not giving them a get out of jail free card, you know, don't pat right. it, you know, you're doing it for you.
Absolutely.
And it took me a while to understand what they were really talking about. But the more I did it, you know, forgiving people that I never thought I would forgive. And the hardest person for me to forgive was myself. It wasn't anybody else. That was really the hardest one. And I still even struggle with that a little bit.
That's the paradox right there.
Right, right. You know, but I do see the freedom in forgiving others. Absolutely. You know, you were lucky you were able to make that amends before she passed. Because I've got a couple of regrets that I wasn't able to make the amends before that certain people in my life passed away. And then when... I don't know if I really felt that God was putting it in my heart to, hey, call this person and forgive them. Because God already knew that person died 2.5 years ago before.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, maybe it was just the whole, you know, going through the process of forgiving, and maybe I just kind of mixed it in there. I don't think it was really a God thing. It was, I just think it was something, this whole group of forgiveness and all these people bunched in, and I just so happened to pick this one person that I was going to call and forgive. And then I found out he passed away 2.5 years before I made that decision, you know, and I really regret it to this day. So it's really cool that you were able to do that. And, you know, I mean, unfortunately that person passed away. That's pretty sad, but you know, for you, that's healing, bro. You know, for you,
there is a special kind of freedom that comes with genuinely forgiving someone. Mm-hmm. She wasn't the first one. Actually, the first bout of forgiveness happened, funny enough, a year before that one. Because mm-hmm. Again, being in a truck, you just think about things, and it's, you know, that's the positive and negative of being an over the road truck driver.
Right,
you just got time with yourself, which I think is healthy for everyone to know who you are.
Right,
but if you are a person that battles with this thing, it can be weird. It can be a little scary, right? And you know, with that separate occasion or with that separate situation, I should say, same thing, you know. And I forgot who I was. I don't know if I was talking to a buddy of mine, or if I heard somebody say it on some kind of podcast. But you know, while you're holding on to hatred and resentment and anger, this other person, either A, probably doesn't know or care, and B, they're sleeping fine at night.
Right.
This is hurting you. You know?
Yeah.
So that's really just to double down on that freedom feeling. You know, just
it's so true. It's there's freedom and forgiveness, and you know, I think that even in your situation, Tony, as well. You know, when you're given a situation and of forgiveness, and unfortunately that person had passed away,
right.
But for me, the way I take it is that God is still, you know, he wants a willing heart. Mm-hmm. And so even though that person had passed, the fact that Tony was able to just really just drop his pride and say, you know what, I'm going to extend forgiveness, right? And so God is able to work through that. And so the same thing, it's, you know, what you felt was a small event, you extend forgiveness, but then now you said that you started taking your faith seriously. So now God is saying, okay, you've extended forgiveness. You no longer carry that hurt, that pain, that bitterness, that anger. Mm. Now I can work on you.
I am so glad you said that.
Right.
That's so fun. Because I was actually going to make that slight change. I was like, I shouldn't say it was me taking control of my faith. That is exactly what's happened. Like as soon as you know that forgiveness happened and that heart was open, it was just a dozen 1-2 punches of conviction, right?
right.
Exactly. Like working on me is the most accurate way that you could have said that. So I'm so glad you said that.
Right.
I mean it's a process, you know, but it's a process that God wants us to work through. One, for ourselves, like you said, you know, having that that freedom. But the other thing is working through it so that God can purify us and the Spirit can really start making an impact. Because if we're trying to live the Christian walk and we're holding on to bitterness, we're hanging on to anger, we're hanging on to hurt that somebody had caused us, you know, that could very well be a stumbling block.
Right.
And so, but when we're able to clear that, we're able to be free from that, then we can really, really see God move. And so, you know, you may look at it as something small, but God is saying, okay, you did this out of obedience. You have that out of your heart. Let's get to work. You know what I mean? And then you just, and now look, you know, listening to you earlier, I was really surprised because, you know, you were talking about how, you know, you weren't sure if you were a good singer and, you know, you just didn't have a whole lot of confidence. And I remember when I first started my business, putting together concerts and events and things, I was like, okay, what shows am I going to put together? I need to find artists. And you were literally, from the time I launched my business, I'm pretty sure you were the first, maybe second artist that I had heard.
No way.
Yeah. And yes. I told my wife, I said, I am reaching out to him right now. So I reached out because, like, listening to you, there was just, I love rock music anyway. Mm-hmm. But there was something special. And I watched, your music video for Carry Me, and just you could see just your passion with your guitar, your passion when you're singing. And I was just like, I couldn't believe it. I was like, this guy is, he's so amazing, so passionate.
Well,
and
thanks, man.
Oh, absolutely. I genuinely believe when I told my wife, I said, if I could somehow get a show with this guy, that would be amazing. And so, yeah, so that was when I had reached out to you and, you know, we'd messaged each other, you know, back and forth since, but.
Yeah, and I really appreciate that, seriously.
Yeah.
Man, y'all are killing me over here, man. you know, to your point, I think you're absolutely right. It's kind of a darned if you do, darned if you don't thing as far as, like, how you approach, you know, ministry and things like that with the music. So I will say with the Indigo Sky project, I wouldn't necessarily call it like a worship project per se, but it's not a secular thing either. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's something that I like to write about, you know, just general experiences and genuine connection with people. So a lot of the songs talk about, you know, my own internal struggles and just that positive mindset of, you know, like I said before, you're stronger than these afflictions. You're stronger than your, and I don't want to say this lightly and I hate saying it, but I think people are stronger than the mental health afflictions that they face.
Mm-hmm.
Not that they're not powerful, but that you're not powerless in it.
Right.
And that's really the thing that I like to, you know, or I want to share and connect, you know, and I'm like, so the Indigo Sky like project, you know, I don't know if it would ever be on like worship radio because I don't necessarily sing gospel in it, but
right.
It is very, I try to have it be just positive and as healing as it can be.
Mm-hmm.
But also, you know, there might be a future song where, you know, we might talk about the bleakness of the world. I don't know, you know what I mean? So
right.
it's not necessarily all, you know, what you would consider is like contemporary, you know.
You know, but as we're sitting here talking, and I probably should have asked this at the beginning of the podcast.
Yeah.
But how did you come up with the name Indigo Sky?
I was going to ask him that too.
That's fine. I was actually talking to someone about this not too long ago. I cannot tell you where Indigo Sky came from. All I can tell you is what I knew it stood for when it hit me. So I traditionally, and historically, I should say, I am trash with names. Absolutely terrible. Any band I've ever been in, when we're discussing names, I'm like, all right, you guys do that. I'm going to go, like, you know, do something else. Because anything I throw out there is going to be like, that's a little corny. This is the point where I'm like, I'm not even, you guys know what I could bring to the table is going to be trash. So let's just skip me in this. So I say all that to say that I didn't really have, so in the time where I did throw out names, I was just going to do like my name for the project, you know, do like an Aaron Jones situation with just LaRae Williams and just call it that. Right. Full name, by the way, for everybody listening.
LaRae there you Williams, go.
There you go. and that's it. I was just going to go just by my name. But I know I was at work when I wrote it down in my notebook. And like right before I started releasing music or even recording music, I just took months and months of notes on like release strategies and all this other stuff, you know, just the legwork of it all. And again, for the life of me, I'm not trying to be one of those guys that's like, oh, it just happened. But I promise you, it just kind of came to me, right?
Okay.
So I don't remember. I knew I was thinking about what the music. Okay, I guess that's what happened. I was thinking about what the music meant and what, you know, the songs I already had demos of at the time and just kind of recalling the songs, that I knew I was going to release and, like, what the common theme was. And a lot of the common theme, as I mentioned before, is really about growth. It's about transformation. It's about, you know, just breaking through that barrier of whatever it is, you know. And again, it's coming from my own experience because I'm not going to say struggled with a lot of things, but I've dealt with a lot of things mentally that I don't talk about. And I know how crippling it has been for me. And I've recently had to, not recently, but like I said, the last few years, had to really be real with myself about that.
Mm-hmm.
So I took the common theme of everything that I had, aside from a few songs here and there for like a loved one or, you know, whatever the case may be. It was really about that idea of, you know, of transition, of transformation. Transformation is the better word. Of coming out of your situation. Excuse me. And whatever that looks like. So I guess thinking about that, that's the part that's foggy a little bit. So thinking about that, and I remember I was sitting at work in my desk, not working. I was sitting at work in my desk, in my notebook, trying to come up with something that would make sense for, you know, for what I'm doing, what I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, and I'm not trying to sound cool, I'm not trying to sound mysterious, I just kind of happened upon Indigo Sky. And this was before I knew we had a bus line called Indigo out here. So that was a fun thing. But but yeah, I just immediately when I wrote it down, I knew what that meant for me, and it meant to its meaning is to symbolize a period of transition. You know, you think of an indigo sky, or if I guess if you look into the sky and you notice it indigo in color, it typically symbolizes what the transition from day to night or from night to day. That's kind of what the music is about, is, you know,
wow.
If you're in a dark situation, the sun will come out again. In your sunny days, you will be hit with darkness, but there's that comfort of you can come out of it, or you will come out of it. Nothing lasts forever, nothing good or bad. And it's just kind of that, you know, that was kind of the meaning behind it. And once I wrote that down and again, just kind of took stock of what I had and where I was writing from, it just kind of made sense. So it's just that, I guess that that idea of a transition, you know, of a metamorphosis or a transformation.
Wow,
that's awesome.
That is way awesome.
So, man, so Indigo, thank you so much for doing this. And
of course,
we just met face to face today, but I feel like we're just chilling in a room with somebody that we've known,
I know, right?
Forever.
Right. I'm telling you, that's what happens when you give me pizza. Okay. Like, we're just hanging out. Like, for better or for worse, whether you want me here or not, dude. And I'm gonna talk as you guys see. Like,
yep. Right on, man. That's awesome, man. We love you sharing your story. Man, that was just, you know, I've never heard anybody explain the way that they named their band or anything like that.
Right?
That was probably one of the coolest stories I've ever heard. I'm like, man. Wow, man, that's a true. Talk about putting some thought into it,
right?
Man.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was really cool, man.
So
awesome.
I appreciate it. That's awesome. Definitely appreciate it.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you again. Thanks for hanging out with us tonight. And absolutely, this podcast was so much fun.
Yeah,
and thank you for being here in the studio with us and doing this. So
I mean, I could not be this close and call it in. You know?
Yeah.
As soon as my wife said, hey, I got the kiddo, I was like, all right, we're going, you know, because I know what my reception looks like in my home, even in the best area. And it was not okay.
So, oh, really?
Gotcha. Okay.
So I, yeah, absolutely. And you know, like we said earlier offline, I don't mean to do the Midwestern goodbye on this, but
no.
You know, it's so much better being in person, mm-hmm, to be able to, you know, I don't want to say feed off each other's energies, but that's kind of what it is, you know, like when we're talking about like-minded things, or, you know, even if it's a healthy debate of something, like, it's just good to be in that.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, a lot more understanding happens when we're willing to come into the same area and just talk like regular people. Right.
Right.
And that's something that I think we've gotten away from a little bit, just as people. So anytime I can, like, just be in it and have these conversations, like, I'm definitely going to do it. And I'm so appreciative that
that's you guys awesome
allowed me to do that. And I will reemphasize again with pizza. So.
No, yeah. Thank you so much. And hopefully this is not the last time we have you on here. As you continue to release music and you do things, we would love to have you on again and get really deep, you know, into your music and the messages and just kind of a follow-up, you know, kind of see where you're at and kind of what's going on with your life. So, yeah, man, thank you. Thank you so much for being here. Ladies and gentlemen, this was Indigo Sky. Indigo, thank you. And thank you to all of our listeners.